Welcome back to Download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, political season is obviously wrapping up soon. Whew, what a dandy when it comes to news and information. You really got two choices. You either can check out, like a lot of people are doing right now, or dig in, which is something that we've seen more this year than ever. People set in their way, and they will not change. If you don't believe me, check Facebook. But that's what we're going to talk about tonight, because it really does feel like it's getting to the point of fanatic behavior. And Professor Al Jeaney, our resident philosopher, agrees, and he is here in studio. He's a professor of business ethics at the Quinlan School of Business at Loyola University. Good to see you, Professor.
Good to see
you.
How are you? Fine. It's been a long, strange summer, but I'm glad to be here.
So, I mean, this is something that we've been seeing over and over, and it's this idea of somebody having political beliefs and sticking to
right.
it as if it's almost the truth.
Now, this notion of fanaticism is part of the history of our culture and part of our politics. I mean, I hate to say this because he's a cultural hero in one sense. Thomas Jefferson paid a publicist, we'll call him a publicist at the time, to write a scandalous book about John Adams, in which he was also accused, I think, of being a pedophile. I mean, the fanaticism involved, because the founding fathers were worried
right.
about the
Republic. So this Republic. Is not new.
They're not new, but I think this last campaign and the last 24 years of presidential politics, including Clinton, Bush, and Obama, there's been a new form of fanaticism, a new stubbornness, almost a zealotry about our particular parties, an unwillingness to look at other things. And I think this is hurting the body politic. I think this is affecting how we do politics and how we look at opponents. And I think what has come down to it, if you look at, you know, Obama has said this, that I'm stymied. Bush said this, I'm stymied. Clinton certainly said he was stymied. He may have been the cause of some of that, his own self. But nevertheless, that we've lost the ability to be fair with opponents. And one of the reasons mm-hmm. for that, and this predates you, in Washington, up until sometime after the Lyndon Johnson, before the advent of planes that got you across the country in 3 hours, the senators and congresspeople lived in Washington. They knew each other.
So you think the idea of not having proximity, not spending time outside of the chambers
that's right.
has something to do with it?
I've been at cocktail – I mean, long time ago, I've been at cocktail parties with Barry Goldwater and Ted Kennedy. In fact, met them on a camping trip in Arizona. This notion that we may be political opponents, but we were the comfortable opposition or the committed opposition. But now I think what's happening is – we've lost the alternative to look for alternatives, to look for options, to look for some middle ground. And that's moving more and more towards fanaticism. And, you know, we think of fanaticism as simply a derivation of fan. I'm a fan. I love the sports and I love the Cubs. I love the Bears. Well, let me come back to that. I love the Cubs right now and see what happens. But fanaticism really is this notion of being zealot, being unable to be reflective of any other position or any other point of view.
Is that, I mean, do you see that playing out in a way that is aided by social media? It's aided by the fact that people feel like this is their page, this is their Facebook page, their Twitter page. They can do whatever they want, and they don't have to compromise. They're not
I think social media, in one sense, has been a great advantage to all of us, that everyone has the right to their say, and their say can be seen by everyone. And the converse of that is everyone has a right to their say, but not every fool is right. And you get a lot of stuff out there, but it's becoming a conflagration of negativity. That's a horribly pompous phrase, but I think there's certain, you know, coming together of this negativity. And what it's suggesting is more than just, I am absolutely committed to be a Democrat, I'm absolutely committed to be a Republican. It's bordering on narcissism, and I think it's bordering on something that sociologists call ethnocentrism, the belief that any other belief beyond your own mm-hmm. is not fully human, is not fully valid, is not fully accepted. And to come back to your social media, I think the fires of that are fanned by social media.
Well, I mean, just look at the basis of the way it
yeah.
works. If you like something that's being said, you hit the word like.
Right.
Like
right.
There's
it's
something
absolutely.
There
absolutely.
In the idea that there's just a, it becomes an
simple,
echo chamber.
A simple example of that is the notion of Obama still not being an American citizen. I mean, that's still a living issue being debated in social media and other places. And to me, that's a representation of, if you are not like me, then you are not fully one of us.
Well, I mean, okay. So, I mean, obviously you said the last 20, 25 years we've seen this blow up. But as you mentioned at the top, Thomas Jefferson writing scandalous books about his political opponents. I mean, it is something that is hardwired in humanity. I mean, is this something that goes back to say, yes, people believe in what they believe and therefore they're human?
Well, this is when I put the philosophical cap on. Yes, it's hardwired in our humanity. Yes, we are competitive, combative creatures. But I always thought that the purpose of egalitarian democracy was to rise somewhat above that to talk about issues and places. Look, Abraham Lincoln, the saint, the secular saint of our society, was reviled, and cartoons of him as an ape appeared in papers. The kinds of things were said about him in papers, he'd be a rich man by today's standards if he just sued one of them. The man he hired to be Secretary of War actually refused to hire him when he saw him the first time. He said to his face to a colleague, "I will not hire this man. He looks like a long-armed gorilla." And, you know, I mean, the way people would talk about people, it's always been part of it. But I thought we were trying to raise the bar in a democracy. I thought we were trying to raise issues instead of wicked Hillary or stupid Donald.
I'll go past that because it obviously happens and fanaticism happens in sports. We see it in sports. Oh. Our team can do no wrong. We see it in politics now. But what I think is interesting is it's playing out in issues. We see it with movements like Black Lives Matter or Blue Lives Matter. We see it in economics. We see it in so many other places where that fanaticism has gone even further.
Yeah.
It's permeated itself into
about. That's exactly what I mean. Biologists sometimes call this pseudo-speciation. That is, you believe that your particular point of view is the only acceptable point of view, and therefore all other points of view are not only wrong, they're aberrant. And they cannot be tolerated, and they should be eradicated. So there's a real danger to that. That happens all the time, and I take this term from biology and Conrad Lorenz, happens all the time, certainly in combat, that you didn't kill a German from the Rhineland or from, you know, Berlin. You killed a Nazi. In the Pacific, my uncle did not shoot Nipponese. He shot Japs. So this notion of stripping a people of their human characteristics is part of it. And
so we don't have to understand their point of view.
You can reject their point of view. And that's what I'm hearing now. To my ear, what I hear is this kind of vitriol from various politicians and participants in the field, including individuals, that they are so locked into their point of view that they denigrate and deny the humanity of the opposite.
Professor Al Genie with us here, our resident philosopher on the download. We're talking about fanaticism and how it's creeping out of where we've made it acceptable, sports.
Yeah.
And it's moved to politics, news, issues, and beyond. Let me ask you about just the way capitalism plays a role in this, because we've seen media companies really try to create echo chambers. We see this with MSNBC mm-hmm. or Fox, and this is well documented. This is not something I'm bringing up. But the concept being that, you know, they recognize that this is something that's in humanity, and they are strengthening it for the idea of ratings and to make money.
Absolutely.
Does that play a role when you talk about it amplifying?
It does play a role. And even, you know, even giving the channel that I would maybe be drawn to, let's say a more liberal channel, Rachel, I've forgotten her name right now.
Maddow
right now. It's vitriol coming out of there. There's really negativity coming out of there. Oh, my God. Here's another idea by the opposition. How could they be thinking of it? Instead of debating it for its particular good points or bad points, instead of counter-arguments as counterfactual expression, both are an attempt to put us in different camps. And when that happens, there's no middle ground, Justin. What happens is you have permanent opposition, and that, I think, diminishes real progress. So what you have are these sanctuaries of perfection, and everything in the middle simply isn't important. And when that happens, nothing gets done. You know, the police chief in Chicago right now, I know this is a very tender topic, and I don't want to offend anyone by my comments. He came out and finally said, this isn't entirely a police problem. This is a sociological problem. This is a problem of poverty in the cities. This is a problem of people with no other options, et cetera, et cetera. Let's not denigrate only the police, but it's so easy to only denigrate one thing. Because in some sense, we can control the police. We could fire all of them, possibly. But we can't eradicate poverty. That's too hard. And so rather than doing the hard problems, we go to the stereotypes. And that's what I think fanaticism gets to us. And dare I offer you a quote that I think encapsulates what I'm talking about. During World War II, Heinrich Himmler was head of the Gestapo and head of the SS. And a true believer, and full disclosure, he formed the Gestapo using as his metaphor the works of Ignatius of Loyola and the meditations. That is, he wanted organization, total commitment, total fraternity, and total dedication. And so he's giving this exercise. He's giving a graduation speech to the new SS officers. And he says, and I quote, "Whether other nations live in prosperity or croak from hunger interests me only insofar as we need them for slaves for our culture. Otherwise, it does not interest me. Whether 10,000 Russian females drop from exhaustion while building anti-tank ditches interests me only insofar as that we need anti-tank ditches to save the German people. Our concern, our duty, is our people and our blood. Toward anything else, we can be indifferent. I wish the SS to take this attitude in confronting the problem of all alien, non-Germanic peoples, especially the Russians. All else is just soup and bubbles.
Sounds like a lovely person.
Lovely person. Now, that's the most radical form of it.
But that's a great point, because fanaticism has reared its ugly head. You know, we've had passion around other politics and sports and news and issues before, but it does get out of whack where you have, Heinrich Himmler, who's essentially talking to an army.
Right.
Saying this is the fanaticism at its worst.
And don't feel bad about doing that. And even, in a much more benign sense, we both are passionate football fans, and I really enjoyed it, and I was up late watching the Notre Dame game against Texas and so on and so forth, and I called my friend from Notre Dame the next day and said, boy, what a game. And he just, put daggers in my eyes for saying that. What do you mean we didn't win? And went on and on and on. Now, that was being jocular. Mm-hmm. But what frightens me is the tone, the temper, and the vitriol of present political discourse leads to anonymity rather than unity.
Okay, so how do we fix it? I mean, that's what the download's all about these days. How do we fix it? We know what the problems are. Is fanaticism a fixable thing?
I'm not sure, but I do know it begins with conversations that are not always hostile. We're not always threatening others. One of the things we learn in schools of business, and I think this is a wonderful phenomenon, you're negotiating for something. You're a business person. You want X, and you're willing to pay Y. He wants to get rid of X, but he needs R. How do we get to the equation where that's acceptable? If you make this personal, this is going to fall out of sync, and it's not going to happen. And finally, let's say I sell this issue for less than I really wanted, but more than I realistically thought I would get. And I bought it for a little more than I wanted, but not as much as I was willing to go for because I wanted it. Then you've got a transaction. I think transactions are what we're talking about in political spheres.
Interesting.
We don't have transactions. We have alienation.
Well, the art of the compromise. That'll be the next.
Art of the compromise.
There you go. Professor Al Jeaney, he's the professor of business ethics at the Quinlan School of Business at Loyola. He also is the resident philosopher here on The Download. Al, great to see you.
See you soon.